ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dari. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. 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 Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So we're continuing with the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this will be text number on page number
23 on page 44.
23 on page 44. differently, huh? Pitamaha samasamye. Prasade girishopamaha. Ashraya sarvabhutanam. Yata devo ramashrayaha. Please chant.
Pitamaha
samasamye.
Prasade girishopamaha. Ashraya sarvabhutanam.
Yata devo ramashrayaha. Pitamaha samasamye. Prasade girishopamaha. Ashraya sarvabhutana. Yata devo ramashrayaha. Pitamaha samasanye. Prasade girishopamaha. Ashrayak sarvabhutana. Yata devo ramashrayaha. Pitamaha samasamye. Prasade girishopamaha. Ashraya sarvabhutana. Yata devo ramashrayaha. Vaishnavis.
Pitamaha samasamye.
Prasade girishopamaha.
Ashraya sarva bhutana. Yata devo ramashrayaha.
Pitamaha samasamye. Prasade girishopamaha. Ashraya sarva bhutana. Yata devo ramashrayaha. Pitamaha. The grandfather. Or Brahma. Samaha. Equally good. Samye. In the matter. Prasade. In the charity. Or in munificence. Girisha, Lord Shiva. Upamaha, comparison of equilibrium. Ashrayaha, resort. Sarva, all. Bhutanam, of the living beings. Yata, as. Devaha, the Supreme Lord. Rama Ashrayaha, the personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This child will be like his grandfather, Yudhishthira, or Brahma, in equanimity of mind. He will be munificent like the Lord of the Kailash Hill, Shiva. And he will be the resort of everyone, like the Supreme Personality of God and Narayan, who is even the shelter of the goddess of fortune. Purport. Mental equanimity refers both to Maharaj Yudhishthira and to Brahma, the grandfather of all living beings. According to Sridhar Swami, the grandfather referred to is Brahma, but according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, the grandfather is Maharaj Yudhishthira himself. But in both cases, the comparison is equally good because both of them are recognized representatives of the Supreme Lord, and thus both of them have to maintain mental equanimity, being engaged in welfare work for the living being. Any responsible executive agent at the top of administration has to tolerate different types of onslaughts from the very persons for whom he works. Brahmaji was criticized even by the gopis, the highest perfectional devotees of the Lord. The gopis were dissatisfied with the work of Brahmaji because Lord Brahma, as creator of this particular universe, created eyelids which obstructed their seeing Lord Krishna. They could not tolerate a moment's blinking of the eyes, for it kept them from seeing their beloved Lord Krishna. So what to speak of others who are naturally very critical of every action of a responsible man? Similarly, Maharaj Yudhishthira had to cross over many difficult situations created by his enemies, and he proved to be the most perfect maintainer of mental equanimity in all critical circumstances. Therefore, the example of both grandfathers for maintaining equanimity of mind is quite befitting. Lord Shiva is a celebrated demigod who awards gifts to beggars. His name is therefore Ashutosh, or one who is pleased very easily. He is also called the Bhutanath, or the Lord of the common folk, who are mainly attached to him because of his munificent gifts, even without consideration of the after effects. Ravana was very attached to Lord Shiva, and by easily pleasing him, Ravana became so powerful that he wanted to challenge the authority of Lord Ram. Of course, Ravana was never helped by Lord Shiva when he fought with Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord of Lord Shiva. To Vrikasura, Lord Shiva awarded a benediction, which was not only awkward but also disturbing. Vrikasura became empowered by the grace of Lord Shiva to vanish anyone's head simply by touching it. Although this was awarded by Lord Shiva, the cunning fellow wanted to make an experiment of the power by touching the head of Lord Shiva. Thus, the Lord had to take shelter of Vishnu to save himself from trouble, and the Lord Vishnu, by his illusory potency, asked Vrikasura to make an experiment with his own head. The fellow did it and was finished himself, and so the world was saved from all sorts of trouble by such a cunning beggar of the demigods. The excellent point is that Lord Shiva never denies anyone any sort of gift. He is therefore the most generous, although sometimes some kind of mistake is made. Rama means the goddess of fortune, and her shelter is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the maintainer of all living beings. There are innumerable living beings, not only on the surface of this planet, but also in all other hundreds of thousands of planets. All of them are provided with all necessities of life for the progressive march toward the end of self-realization, but on the path of sense gratification, they are put into difficulty by the agency of Maya, the illusory energy, and so travel the path of a false plan of economic development. Such economic development is never successful because it is illusory. These men are always after the mercy of the illusory goddess of fortune, but they do not know that the goddess of fortune can live only under the protection of Vishnu. Without Vishnu, the goddess of fortune is illusion. We should therefore seek the protection of Vishnu instead of directly seeking the protection of the goddess of fortune. Only Vishnu and the devotees of Vishnu can give protection to all. And because Maharaj Parikshit was himself protected by Vishnu, it was quite possible for him to give complete protection to all who wanted to live under his rule. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katah Mayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvajutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Dopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute
Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Pitamahasama samye prasade girishopamaha ashraya sarvabhutanam yata devo ramashayaha. This child will be like his grandfather Yudhishthira or Brahma in equanimity of mind. He will be munificent. He will be munificent like the lord of the Kailas hill Shiva, and he will be the resort of everyone, like the supreme personality of Godhead Narayan, who is even the shelter of the goddess of fortune. And this kind of comparison and anticipation is a kind of glorification also. The Brahmins here are simultaneously predicting the future of this child, knowing the lineage he comes from. They're also giving benediction. And they're also glorifying those who have come before. It's all packaged together in one very nice kind of expression of all these things together. This goes to what we were saying before. When we remember the good qualities of others and we appreciate them, then we imbibe them ourselves. So this is taking place here. And there's a way in which when there are a discussion of good qualities, the good qualities of others, as they're doing here, then those things rub off on others. Have you ever... of course you have taken the time to carefully read the divine qualities at the beginning of the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. All of you who are CHAD members have been doing that for the last month, because that's the chapter we've been reading. And I have this visceral experience that when I read those qualities enumerated by Krishna as divine qualities, I feel elated afterwards. In one sense, I feel morose because I don't have any of them. But on the other side, I just by hearing them, I feel optimistic. And there's a kind of accumulation of the qualities through the connection of hope when you hear them. And they stimulate something in you that's natural, where you actually feel attuned with them from hearing them and appreciating that they are in others. So that is taking place... throughout the Bhagavatam, we'll find this kind of glorification of devotees, the prayers and comparisons of the good qualities to others. Now, speaking specifically about Yudhishthira and Brahma, because here specifically, he's a king. He's being born as a king, and he's going to be shelter for many other people, and he has to administer justice. And the examples of Yudhishthira and Brahma, what did they have to overcome and what did they have to endure to perform their duty? Prabhupada mentions it here, actually. I would like to revisit that sentence because I felt enlivened by it. He said that any responsible executive agent at the top of administration has to tolerate different types of onslaughts. That's a heavy word, from the very persons for whom he works. So I just had, you know, before I went to bed last night, I was praying as I usually do. I get on my knees and pray. And it's the last thing I do at the end of the day before I lie down to sleep. And I was thinking about all the different problems that I have to face right now. And part of my prayer, I was thinking, maybe I should pray that Krishna takes all these things away. And then after I was thinking like that, I thought, they'll never go away. Don't think like that. So then I was thinking that don't try, don't wish for fewer problems. Wish that you were better. And then I realized that this is a blessing, actually. And it's in the mood of Kunti, who was praying, Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtabhuta Swayam Vibho. No, no, that's a different verse. Vipara Santuta Sasva Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhavadarshanam. She's saying that in difficulty, in stress, when there are calamities, the onslaughts that come, there's nowhere to run and hide. You know, you have to face it, and you have to deal with it. And in that, you become molded. Your character becomes molded. And if you're cultivating Krishna consciousness, you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're taking shelter of Krishna, in that, you have to go deeper. And therefore, she says, whenever these calamities and onslaughts come, that's when I have your darshan. Not when I have a full tank of gas and, you know, bank account's full, I just got an inheritance, and I'm like, all right, let's go to Walmart. You know, you're not in that mood of that pensive mood of how do I take shelter of Krishna? How do I deal with this and take shelter? So these names of administrators, Brahma at the beginning of the universe was faced with a colossal problem. He didn't know who he was or where he was or what was to take place. And he's a hero. He's a great hero for all of us who began our disciplic succession, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, that, you know, he stood in there and he listened and he waited and he searched and he heard the tapa. And then according to Brahma Samhita, the divine goddess Saraswati came before him and gave him a mantra, and he practiced it. And he had his own revelation that he was able to pass down to others, you know, because of his tapasya. It all came from the tapasya of facing that onslaught. And Yudhishthir, Kunti remembers San Asagne Purushada Darshanat Asat Sabaya Vanavasa Krichata Mrade Mrade Neka Maharatastrato Dronyashatas Chasma Hare Birakshitaha. She's talking about all the, you know, naming, just cataloging a few of the calamities that the Pandavas had to go through. And he was the head of the family. He had to deal with all these things, being railroaded out of town, having their house burned down. They had to figure out some escape. How humiliating that is to be a king, princes, and, you know, you're the rightful heir, and people are attacking you. It's the nature of this world that you attack. When you grow a garden, guaranteed there are predators going to come into the garden and will want to eat some of that, or the whole thing, if you're not careful. So you have to protect. And he was in that situation, the burning house. His brother was poisoned with a cake. There were cannibals that they had to fight with and make all kinds of hard decisions about, you know, their dealings with in the forest and political intrigue, how to stay hidden. You know, people were after them all the time that they were in the exile. And Yudhishthir had to maintain them and stay steady throughout that. So this child who's going to be born, Parikshit, he's going to be just like that, and also like Lord Brahma. And then Lord Shiva is being mentioned here as Ashutosh, that he's easily pleased. He gives whatever he has to others without question. He just gives it away. And those who do this become famous in the world. When we try to keep what we have, we can't actually keep it, because eventually it's going to be taken by death, by the government, by thieves, by our family members. Something will come up. Something will come up. You think you got it safe. It's in the safe deposit, but nobody knows where it is. And then there's an emergency, and it's like, oh, by the way, you know, we need that money now. You know, people try their whole lives to hang on to what they have and to accumulate more. This is sort of the theme of material life. Protect what I have and get more and keep it. And one way or another, it gets whittled away and taken away from us. Whereas if you give it away, then you actually, there's a way that you get to keep it permanently. The name and fame of the people we've heard here, like Lord Shiva, who's so magnanimous, who gives away benedictions and anything else anyone asks for, and Marashibi, and the other great names in history of those who are charitable. Once you give it away, then actually you've gained. You know, you have the reputation, you gave it away, you get to see the effect of it. I saw that the devotees in the early days, I joined the movement in 1973, and there were devotees dedicated their lives. There was no question about it. They jumped in and they just dedicated their whole lives. There was nothing else except service and give to the mission. You know, devotees join, sleep on the floor. I was talking about this. I was glorifying Giriraj Maharaj the other night. I was thinking about him because he's going to come here in April, apparently. You know, he comes from a very wealthy family. And he gave all that up and came and joined Prabhupada. He was a simple brahmachari. And his father came to visit him in Bombay and saw the conditions he was living in, which were severe because of the weather in Bombay and because of the property there was in dispute, and they had to live on the roof. There were no proper facilities. Very difficult, especially for a rich man's son. So his father, who eagerly, and his mother wanted him back and offered him $2 million or something like that. Just come back, we'll set you up, and we'll put $2 million in your bank account, and that's it, no problem. You know, for an ordinary person, that would be attractive, but this is not an ordinary person. He wasn't in the slight bit interested in that. I don't know all the details about exactly, you know, how the whole thing happened, but it wasn't a consideration. And many devotees came forward. What we have established in Vrindavan now, the Krishna Balaram Mandir and the property there and the Mayapur property, that was all put together by the hard labor, sweat and blood of devotees. Part of them were collecting in Japan. And the other part were the devotees on book distribution who were going out practically 7 days a week. And the money that they were collecting, which was significant because so many people were going on book distribution, percentage of that, half of what they collected, according to the formula Prabhupada set up at the BBT, went back to those projects. You know, this is part of Prabhupada's idea to grow the movement, which is that the books are there and we'd sell the books. The money comes back to the BBT, 50% goes for printing books, and the other 50% goes for expanding ISKCON projects. That's how those projects were built, by that kind of book distribution. And so now one of my godbrothers, who I'm close with, who headed the party in Japan, which was responsible for collecting a huge portion of the money that went to India, which was dead at the time. We couldn't get one Indian to join Krishna consciousness movement. Not one. And Prabhupada mentions it many times, like, where's all the Indians? And over again, he's saying, Brahmate, Bhumate, Hoylamanasa, Janmayar, Janmasartak, Kari, Para Upakar. It's like, you guys, this is your work. Where are you guys? Nobody coming, except Gopal Krishna Maharaj. And he's still there, just, you know, steady as anything. So, you know, then the money was coming from America, going to India, building these projects. And, you know, devotees just dropped everything, dropped out of college, dropped their job, dropped whatever they do, sleep on the floor, go out and collect and do this thing. Now, my point was, I see this, my godbrother, who was in charge of the party in Japan. Now, wherever I go in Vrindavan, every Vrijabasi knows him. Of course, he's been there for many years, but they know he built that temple or is responsible for a large portion of it. He's famous for that. That's the point. He's famous. He gave away, and I saw how he gave his life for that, for doing that. His whole youth was expended, you know, for the purpose of building those temples and managing that party. And now, whether he has money or not, it's not a big issue. Fact is, he's famous for building that temple. It's done. It can't be taken back. Whereas if he had worked his whole youth and become a successful entrepreneur and built a huge software company, and had billions of dollars and created a, you know, a G-pad or something like that. Who cares? In the end, who cares? In the cosmic time and circumstance, it's not a big thing. It'll pass by. It'll be something that you can look up on Wikipedia and think of the history. But this other thing is spiritually significant, actually. Even in Shastra, it says, you build a temple for the Lord, and then your house is being built in Goloka Vrindavan. And Prabhupada once told him that too, this devotee, that he became so exasperated with his work, it was very difficult, austere, and he came to Prabhupada and said all these complaints, this, that, and the other thing. And Prabhupada said, Krishna's building you a house in Goloka. I've seen it. Now go back and do your service. That's what he told me. So this feeling of being Ashutosh, hearing about Ashutosh, hearing about how Shiva's so charitably disposed and giving away, you know, this is a quality actually of a very progressive and really internally wealthy person who's able to give. And ultimately, in Krishna consciousness, this is the revelation of bhakti, that the more I give, the more I get. I mean, in the beginning, that revelation may be there, and therefore I'm giving because I'm getting, which is sort of a conditional thing. But later on, it's because that's my very life. It's just like the stomach is a giver. Although it takes, it gives constantly. As soon as you give it, give to the stomach, it starts to give to everybody else. And we realize that when we give to Krishna, when we expend our energy for Krishna and his devotees, then automatically we're being nourished. It comes right back. Prahlad Maharaj gave the example that if you decorate your face and then you look in the mirror, the reflection is also decorated. So if you decorate Krishna, if you give to Krishna and you're part and parcel of Krishna, then automatically you'll become glorified. You'll become exalted. You'll become happy and perfectly situated. So Parikshit Maharaj, this is, will be like Ashutosh in giving away charity and being charitable to others. And finally, he will be the resort of everyone, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is even the shelter of the Goddess of Fortune. So this is an important point to remember, and it's brought out in the purport, that everyone wants Lakshmi. When we go door to door, we see everyone's house is decorated with these, and there's Lakshmi signs, and there's Ganesh signs, and everyone wants to ward off the anomalies of life and invite good fortune. Please come in my house. No one does the opposite. They don't wake up and say, please, you know, let the IRS call today, or let some, you know, bad thing happen to my car on the way to work. They all want the opposite, and they want wealth and happiness in the material world. Everyone's waiting for that kind of situation, wants the Goddess of Fortune to come and live there. So now, where does she live? Where does she actually go? Who's she actually attracted to? When we hear the pastime of the churning of the ocean of milk, you can hear how Lakshmi came from that churning process out of the ocean of milk. She looked at everybody, and she walked by them all, and she came to Vishnu and said, only here, only here. I mean, they were all the greatest heroes in the universe, all the great demigods, all the different entities that you can imagine were present, and she went right to Vishnu and was happily situated there on his chest. So the lesson is, as Prabhupada told one householder who was trying to figure out how to get started in his household life, how to make a living, Prabhupada gave this sutra. He said, when you worship Narayan properly, then Lakshmi will always be there. Just she never leaves Narayan. Always there present. And we hear also that our Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tektva, what is it? Sudushyata, Surepsita Raja Lakshmin. Surepsita, Ipsita means everyone desires. Surepsita means even the great demigods, they want Lakshmi. They want Goddess of Fortune to come and stay with her. Tyaktva Sudusyaja Surepshita Raja Lakshmi. They want the Raja Lakshmi to be there. Dharmishta Arya Vachasa Yadagadaranya. But what did Lord Chaitanya do? He's Nimai Pandit, he's there, he's the most glorified person, perfect family life. He's married to the goddess of fortune. And he dropped everything and he went off and took sannyas. He shocked everybody. He only told five devotees. He whispered it around, I'm taking sannyas tomorrow. And then he went and told his mother. And she sat dumbfounded at the door, tears flowing from her eyes, shocked, stunned. And the few devotees that knew, you know, came the next day and they saw Sachi. She said, he's gone. And the whole town went to pieces. Even the atheists who used to criticize the kirtan at Srivasangam and who used to laugh at the devotees, they all started to cry too that he was gone. They realized. And so this is one of the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he doesn't even need the goddess of fortune. Tyaktva Sudusyaja, Surepshita, even the demigods, everyone else wants the goddess of fortune. And, you know, on an excuse of the Brahmins cursing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just gave up everything and went away. So, when we worship the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we actually have everything. Everything is available there, including the goddess of fortune and all happiness. So, Parikshit Maharaj is being glorified as the one who will be like Yudhishthir, Brahma, in being able to administrate, be able to tolerate onslaughts, and he'll be like Lord Shiva in being magnanimous and giving away a charity to everyone without hesitation, and he'll also be like the shelter of Lord Narayan, who's even the shelter of the goddess of fortune. And that's the kind of person that you want to be associated with, Maharaj Parikshit. Om Tat Sat. Yes.
We hear this, you know, we're always praising Lord Shiva and Srimad Bhagavatam and Brahma Samhita and so forth. But it was Shivaratri was this week, and in ISKCON, traditionally, at least as far as I know, we haven't really done much to observe that. And I'm wondering, is that disrespectful to Lord Shiva, or
do we do it a different way? I mean, we can do that, but and it's nice. But Advaita Acharya is Sadashiva. We're in the context of the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see this quality, nature, and from Shastra is saying that Advaita Acharya is also a partial manifestation of Lord Shiva. So through the pastimes of, you know, as we're following the track of the Goswamis and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how they particularly worshipped, we're showing proper respect, and our worship is flowing, you know, in a very live, real way to all these great personalities who appear at different times and in different ways. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Similar, actually, on Mahashivratri, my daughter, you know, while I was leaving them on school while walking, she asked, okay, daddy, so, Anu, they told some story. So, Shiva drank the poison, so, you know, he turned, you know, blue in color. But then, does he not do chanting? Being the greatest Vaishnava, and I didn't have answered for her. So what should be the... So I told her, no, mentally he's... But I didn't...
Brahma bole chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Mahadeva panchamukhi Rama Rama Hare Hare. There it is. He's always meditating on Lord Sankarshan. It's there in the Bhagavatam, and he's chanting that mantra for him constantly. He's the best Vaishnav. Yes, constantly chanting.
So, mentally or the question?
You seen those beads?
In India, I've seen paintings of Lord Shiva in a meditating position.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, he's chanting. You were going to say? You had a point? Oh, I thought you had. Okay, yes.
During the class, the topic of envy came about.
Mm.
What is the practical way for all of us here, really, and for the devotees who are at our stage, to really get out of this envy?
Well, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Icha dvesha smutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. This envy comes as a as we're affected by the three modes of material nature. It is a concomitant fact along with material birth, according to this verse. Icha dvesha smutena dvandva. It's caused by the dvandva, a kind of a duality, a dual seeing. So by taking shelter of the holy names and having an experience, your own experience, which is very possible, this is the most merciful aspect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and distributed the holy name so that we would have constant contact with the personal feature of the Supreme Absolute. Now, you can have that experience for yourself, which is takes you above the dvandva, or the duality, which causes envy, you know, this comparison, this polarity. And you must get that experience. So it's experiential. It's not a self-help book of, you know, how to overcome envy in 9 different lessons or something like that. Although, you know, that's not a bad idea, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself talks about cultivating humility and being ready to offer respects to others without expecting it in return. So that's a cultivation, yeah. But for permanency, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvar gunas tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasu kuto mahad guna manoratenasati davato bahi. One must come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme, pure, and prophylactic, who, just like the sun, he can remove those covering influences, those modes which make us envious, so that we're seeing the duality in the world. And that comes from the sun of the holy name. So when we sit down to chant, or when we chant in any circumstance and we associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his name, and we get that experience for ourselves that we are transcendent beings, that we are actually servants, that we're fully dependent on the Lord ourselves, then this feeling of envy begins to subside. Also, in a practical way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the residents of Kulina Gram about how blaspheming devotees, or see, the envy may lie within the heart, and if we express it, if it comes out through the tongue, then it can be very damaging. There will be a repercussion. Not only will it hurt the person to whom we express the envy, but it will also come back to us in the form of offense. The Vaishnav might not take offense, but Srimad Bhagavatam says that the personified foot dust of the Vaishnav takes offense, the dhulis. And so there is a reaction, and it's compared by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be like a mad elephant offense. So we should practice the austerity of speech and be careful how we speak. And if we happen to say something envious, if it comes out, and we have to judge too, because there's a difference. If we're correcting somebody who needs to be corrected and we're doing it in the proper way, it's not necessarily envious. It's the duty of a teacher, of a spiritual master, of an administrator who's in charge of something. Like you were giving the example of Prabhupada, you know, someone may say, well, why do you envy that lady? Just let her dance naked. But he had to say, no, you know, by his indications, put some clothes on. You know, it's a decision for the benefit of everyone. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you do say something envious, then the antidote is to glorify. So we have to practice these things, practice glorifying devotees.
when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about his devotees, it was as if he had four mouths because he was glorifying them so much. Look at the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. When people were amazed and glorified him, he would say, oh no, I just learned all this from Ramananda Roy. I don't know anything about it. It's all coming from him. And whenever someone would glorify the quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would say, no, it's Haridas Thakur, or it's Sanatana Goswami. He would always deflect. That this is the Vaishnava culture and nature. It's a kind of a cultivation. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when we stay in that humble state of mind, then we can have that communion, that direct experience and constant contact with the personal feature of the Supreme Absolute. We need to have that constant contact with this, with the personal feature of the Supreme Absolute. Just by that alone, it diminishes the the modes of nature which give us this perverted view of the world and instill this envy in us. So purification is the key. I could have just said that in the beginning. Yes, Rakshit Prabhu.
I thought that the first statement of the purport was very significant. First statement of the translation, where it is said that this child will be like his grandfather Yudhishthira or Brahma in equanimity of mind. And the term equanimity is used, which Krishna also uses in the Bhagavad Gita in a recurring way, where he says, be equipoised. In the second chapter, where he's telling to Arjun that go and fight, but fight without consideration to victory or defeat, pain or pleasure. Be free of dualities. So I was reminded about that, equanimity of mind, and especially one verse in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, which is 256, where Krishna is saying, Dukeshu anudvigna mana, Shukeshu vigata spraha, Vita raga baya krodha, Stita dir Munir Uchyate, one who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. So that expression, a sage of steady mind, is referring to this person with equanimity in mind. And often, sometimes you'll get some advice from a spiritually elevated person, become steady or become dhira, they would say, in your life. I've heard that before. And essentially they are implying this, that develop equanimity or become equipoise, that whatever comes, whether there is disturbance or pleasure, pain or happiness, be steady in your reactions. And that is a quality of a sage. So Krishna is saying a sage of steady mind is equipoised. And here, Yudhishthira and Brahma are compared to be these persons who show that equanimity in of mind. They would be like the sage of steady mind that Krishna is referring to. I was just thought about that verse.
Very nice citation. Thank you. So today, in a practical application of these things, we have the service of going out to give charity like Ashutosh, to withstand any onslaughts like Brahma and Yudhishthira, and to remain equipoised, because when you go on Sankirtan, you don't know who you're going to meet. And if you're door-to-door, you don't know who's behind each door. You simply have to go with a steady mind and know that you're going to deliver some gift, prasade, you know, give some favor behind each door. So this is another way that we actually cultivate this, is in this Sankirtan and book distribution. It's a kind of a sadhana whereby you go out and you face all kinds of situations that are uncertain, and therefore you have to cultivate this equanimity. and the non-enviousness when you're approaching others in order to administer this kind of special favor that we're giving out in the form of books, prasadam, the holy name, association, invitations, friendship, and things like that. So that's what we're going to do. Today, we're continuing with the Gaur Purnima, monthly Sankirtan festival, in which we have a goal to distribute 4,000 books and to collect 6,000 Lakshmi points, distribute 25 sets of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we will create a new role of events director and take applications from interested devotees. So now is our first official weekend that we're going out to distribute books. And Srivas Pandit? Events director requires someone who has a good feel for the Greater Bay Area and knows how to look around and find where there are possible events that we could utilize to go and teach Krishna consciousness to others. For instance, there are concerts. You have to be a little imaginative. You'd see where people congregate and what the themes are and see how can we fit in there. So this will be an ongoing thing because we've discussed at the very beginning of the year how one way to increase our book distribution is to find these events. Normally when we go to an event and there's, you know, more than a few thousand people and we have a presence there, we tend to do a lot of books really quickly and meet a lot of people. So the way we think of it is the cities are created specifically by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just so we can do book distribution. We always felt that about the airport. They're funneling people through the airport so we can stand there and grab them. And that we did. And so the events also, we should think like that. We're looking to see, why is that event there? It's certainly not just meant to be a will-o'-the-wisp part of the, you know, the mic situation. It's for us. Let's engage us. So find where they are. That's what the event director does. He combs the internet. He looks in papers, looks up where he sees flyers, and he makes notations of all these things. And then he brings them to the attention of the Sankirtan leaders and then says, okay, why don't we send a party to these places and we'll try them out. So that's the events director. Just a bit update news on Omkar. Omkar is joining ISV. He's son of Havi. He's I think he's 22 years old now, huh?
Who came last year?
He came last year, yeah. So we built a really strong rapport, Omkar and I, and he wants to surrender his life. He says he wants to follow in the footsteps of Vishnu Jana. And he's an excellent musician. He can cook. He can all do all these things. And he comes in a family of devotees. So anyway, Tushita Krishna was here. I got a whole plan, but I'm not going to go into it now because we got to go in Sankirtan. But one of the things, Tushita, Omkar, he's coming probably at the beginning of April, and I'm sending him first to Kansas and then to Denver, where he's going to get trained up in how to do college book distribution. Ganapati Maharaj, who's you never see because he's just out on Sankirtan all the time. He'll be there in Kansas and also in Denver. And Tushita has a really good infrastructure and temple and a lot of things going on. So he's going to go get trained up first. And then our idea is that he'll be here, Omkar, and there's a couple other devotees who are interested in coming also. We're getting a traveling party together. I already earmarked $10,000 somebody gave me to buy a traveling van. And then they'll go all around the Bay Area and up and down California and cultivate, you know, the students and distribute books and do little mini festivals and things like that. So that they're on their way. And it relates to this point about events, because having an events director who can tell them where all these things are, they can just show up and with their van take out their panels like we have at Rathayatra, take out their instruments, set up a book table, instant festival, and we have them going on all over the Bay Area. That's the idea. That's what Vishnu Jana used to do. That's what he did. He got a bus and he'd travel around to events and he'd get out and they'd have a musical performance and they'd distribute prasadam. And geez, it was wonderful. So let's do it again. Hari Hari Bo. Who said that? Hari Bo. Okay, so you know, our schedule is for the MSFs that we have the Guru Puja. It's already done at 7 o'clock. So today, same thing's done. So now we're going to have prashadam, and then we have spots. Sri Krishna Purushottam is somewhere in the vicinity. He's getting everything together. The books are being packed, aren't they, in the middle unit? Did anybody look? Is there a packing team out there? No? They're already packed. Okay. Oh, he did. Okay, so anyway, there's spots. Everyone is invited to come out for as long as you like for distribution today, just as long as you do a couple thousand books, that's fine. And and then we'll also be continuing tomorrow as well. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.